today is Father's Day, or I've been saying Man's Day. You know, this is Man's Day, time for all of us to be in our man cave, but it's a great day to be alive. But I want to begin by sharing a story that actually concerns a mother, and I know that some of you fathers as well are great in the kitchen and you love cooking, but she was working on a special dish. I mean, she was working away, working on this special dish, and her little boy, as typical, was running through the kitchen. Now, how many of that's typical for your family? I mean, if there's any place a child can play, they always play in the kitchen when you're trying to cook. Our grandkids do that all the time. They will run through the kitchen to the living room, and you say, please, 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 you're going to get something hot spilled on you. Well, he kept running through the kitchen over and over again, and then he did it. He accidentally knocked over the special dish that she was preparing, and it went all over the floor, and she picked up a broomstick and chased after him. How many of you moms have ever chased after your kids with a broomstick? Anybody? But anyway, he had a special hiding place, and it was under his porch of the house. He crawled under the porch. She couldn't get to him. And so when Daddy came home, and she says, you need to discipline your son. You need to take care of your son. Notice it's his son. You need to take care of your son. You need to discipline your son. And so he knew where he was hiding, and he crawled underneath the porch, and there behind a little pillar, he could see the two eyes of his little boy peering from beneath the pillars, and the little boy said to him, is Mommy after you too? So you got to watch these mothers. I mean, us dads, we just let it fly. We're cool, you know, but anyway. Today we're looking at, of course, Father's Day, and it's great to have all you men and all you fathers with us today. It's great to have men who care about God and who seek to be a part of the church body. The church needs, the body of Christ needs men, godly men. But as we think about this morning, we're going to think about a very important and I think very fascinating piece of scripture that tells us about the intimate love of God. Very simply, Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many sparrows. And what a tremendous passage of scripture that is. Johnny Erickson Tada is a story that's familiar to probably all of us in this room. At about 18, 19 years of age, she was out diving and playing with some friends of hers in a pond. And she dove into the water and hit her head on a rock underneath the water and became paralyzed. She became a quadriplegic. But what a tremendous testimony she is to the ever-caring grace of God. Here was a person who learned how to, of course, use her talents and paint with a brush in her mouth. She has a radio program. She teaches Bible. She's a tremendous woman of God. But she wrote these words. I glanced at the bird feeder and smiled. I could understand Jesus noticing if an eagle or a falcon or a hawk fell to the ground. Those are the important birds he created, the kind worth attending to, but a scrappy sparrow. And yet from 1,000 bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scruffiest bird of all, a pint-sized thing that even a dedicated bird watcher ignores. That thought alone calmed my fears. I felt significant and noticed, because if God takes note of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, and what they're doing, I know he keeps tabs on me. And I think about that passage of scripture and what she says, and I think about, wow, what a tremendous word that is to each and every one of us this morning, that no matter how significant we feel, God cares for us. Now, here's sparrows, of course. Sparrows are very common, indescript. You know, the least noticed, they're very unimpressive, they're very humble, they're unimportant birds that we experience every day. I don't know how many sparrows I saw today. I was standing at the door at the carport, and all these sparrows were outdoors. They're everywhere. And I remember going to Israel some years ago, and seemingly every restaurant or cafe we went into, and the hotel that we stayed in that had a restaurant in it, believe it or not, there were sparrows flitting from corner to corner. Not a whole lot of them, but there were sparrows. And we would notice these sparrows in these restaurants eating. And they had the tableware all set, they had the glassware, the glasses on the table, and every once in a while you would see a sparrow come down and light on top of that glass and perch. And I would sit there and wonder, who's the next person who's going to sit at that table and drink from that glass? And say, would they know? They would drink from that if they knew a sparrow had landed upon that? But here's these sparrows. They're very humble and indescript. I mean, we go out to Prairie Creek. We go beside the little field where Sam Harris is at, and there's an eagle's nest. How many of you have seen the eagle? And you've gone out to that nest, and I've seen people parked along the road with their cameras and their binoculars looking at that eagle and saying, "Wow, look at that, you know. See the white, the crowning head of the eagle? So majestic, so awesome." How many people, I would ask you, take their binoculars and cameras and go out there and say, "Look at that sparrow. Look at that sparrow. Look at all the young in the nest." We don't do that. Why? Because sparrows are common, indescript, unimportant. They're just the simple things of life that we've gotten used to. Eagles, yes, not sparrows. Sparrows were actually the chicken McNuggets of the day, okay? If you went and you actually went to a cafe, you went to the dollar menu, sparrows were on the menu, okay? They would take the sparrows, they would pluck the feathers, they would put them on skewers, lay them on trays. And several weeks ago, I talked about crawfish. Friends, crawfish and experience, imagine eating a sparrow. That's a real experience, is it not? Let alone a whole skew of them. But also, we know that these sparrows, not only were they considered food for those who were poor financially, but they were also given as sacrificial offerings. If you could not offer a lamb or a bull or a calf, they would bring a sparrow because the sparrow was the common ordinary bird that a person could afford. But they weren't worth hardly even a penny. They were actually absolutely worthless. And yet, the Bible tells us several things about these sparrows, about God's care for us. One is, it says that if the sparrow falls to the ground, your heavenly Father knows that and cares for that. And here's what I'm trying to say this morning, is that sparrows do fall. Sparrows fall. I mean, they get sucked into jet engines. I mean, they die from droughts. I mean, they get killed from, you know, people shooting them with BB guns. I mean, sparrows do fall. I remember singing some years ago, Bob Lynn was sitting right over here about where Chris and Kevin are sitting, and we were singing Ethel Waters' famous song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." And as we were singing that, I happened to glance to him and he at me, and we both smiled because as we had come into the church that evening, outside on the steps was a small sparrow who had fallen to the ground and had died. And yet it says here that God cares for us. But what I'm trying to say is that these sparrows fall, which means that they have their problems of life. They have their trials of life. And we all have our problems and trials in life. You have your trials, I have my trials. You have your problems, I have my problems. I mean, it's inevitable that we go through these trials and tribulations of life. And I know that there are times, you know, that I step back. And every morning, I have to honestly say, I pray that God would protect my family. And that God would place a hedge about my family and keep us safe through the day, that he would be our shelter and fortress. And yet it does not mean that God is going to somehow be this helicopter parent who's always hovering over us, making sure that we don't, you know, learn anything from the days of our life. You see, problems are actually life's training school. It's God's boot camp, you could say. And when we learn to go through these trials and problems of life, God is teaching us, he's teaching you, he's teaching me how to become more like his son, Jesus Christ, who also experienced trials and problems in his life as he walked this earth. So life's training school are the problems that we experience, and God uses those in our life. Now let's stop and look at this, because we notice that sparrows fall. But falling doesn't mean that God has forsaken us or forgotten us. Fall means two things. One means to die, but two, it also means to light upon the ground. And every sparrow I saw this morning as I looked out the window of the church, they were sort of flitting around the ground. They had lighted upon the ground. And they were maneuvering around. I mean, they could become prey to cats. But it says, again, Jesus says, your Father's eye is on the sparrow, not just when it dies, but when it lights upon the ground, and he sees every little struggle. He sees every little movement that he makes. And he says, listen to me, aren't you not more valuable than the sparrows? Aren't you not of much more value than the sparrows? And I like that thought because it says that, you know, we're all common people, but God is concerned about us. The King of the universe looks down upon me and he sees my needs and he knows my needs and he cares for me. Isn't that a great thought? And we can cast all of our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. Now here's the second truth that we have to understand. Because if we know that we have trials and problems of life, inevitably there's someone who does this. They say this. Very simply, life's problems are not a punishment for our sins. And I want to say that because I've had many people come to me in the course of ministry And they say, maybe their child is ill, maybe they're going through an illness, maybe they're going through some tough times. They say, Pastor, is God punishing me? Is God punishing me? I mean, I'm going through this hard time. I don't understand it. Is God punishing me? And I have to say, no, He's not punishing us. He disciplines us, but He's not punishing us for the sins that we commit. Very simply, bad things happen to good people. And none of us are good. Jesus said that Himself, right? He says there's no one good but God alone. So we're all sinful, but yet bad things happen to every single individual in this room. And it doesn't mean that God is somehow punishing me for the things I've done. We live in a sinful world, and there are things that other people do that will affect me. There are things that I do that will affect me. You know, we all have this place where we come together, and we experience these bad things of life. But friends, trials and problems are a training ground, a boot camp. They're not God's punishment for some wrong that you have done in your life. Don't believe it, that if you become ill, that somehow God is trying to get back at you for something that you've neglected to do in your life. And yet the good news is that God is with us. God is with us. I was working on, believe it or not, the message for next week, which I really don't want to prepare or even bring. But anyway, John the Baptist. And John was the one who introduced the world to Jesus in many ways. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet, what happened to John? Anybody remember? Birthday party, right? Herod's daughter, Salome, said, I would like to have John's head for a birthday present. Now, that's what you call being really gross, isn't it? John suffered. He lost his head. And he was a man who introduced the world to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. I think about the Apostle Paul. He had persecuted the church, became right with God, became a church planter, a missionary, won thousands of people to Jesus Christ, introduced them to the Savior. And yet, I don't know about you, but I would not have wanted to follow the Apostle Paul around, you know, in his footsteps. Listen to what he says. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. I would have gotten up and run away right then. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. I'm saying, whoa, Paul, you can go at it. I'll stay home. And I'll sleep in my own bed. And I'll try to protect myself from all those things. That doesn't sound right. Was Paul being punished? No. He wasn't even being punished. He went through those things because he was declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul understood something that I think we all need to understand. And later on in that chapter, he says very simply this, my grace is sufficient for you. God says, I see all these things, but he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. He's concerned about every detail of our heart and every detail of our life, and He knows that we belong to Him. You know, so the passage, if you look at it, goes up back and it says, you know, talks about being afraid and being anxious in life. And I think about these birds that are insignificant, that are unimportant, that are indescript. I think about how it says to me that God is concerned about the least, the last, and the lonely. He's concerned about the poor, the widow. He's concerned about those who feel like they're nobodies. He says, I care for you and you and you and you and you. I have to you know, say this in my life, and this is a confession I have to make. And I pass this to every one of us in this room, deal with our own weaknesses. You have weaknesses, I have weaknesses. And I've always had to battle with the worry and anxiety. Anybody been in the same boat? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But anyway, worry and anxiety. Some of you deal with different things, okay? And the Bible says, you know, if God cares for the sparrows of the sky, He cares for us. Why be afraid? And yet I guess it's passed on, honestly, because my mom is a worrier. And sometimes things are passed on by sin and by DNA. And so, you know, you deal with these things in life. But I go back and I think about, again, the Christ family. And I think about how it is you sometimes go through all these worries and these fears and these anxieties about the present, about the future that you have. And I still remember being sitting right down here in this area, right here, when the Christ family was singing, giving a concert up here on a Sunday morning. And Jackie Christ sang for her first time a song that you have sang, Karen, many times. They called it the Declaration. And she says, you know what? Sometimes I have these fears and I have these doubts in my heart. John the Baptist had his doubts. She says, I have these fears and I have these doubts and I have these worries and I have these concerns, but in my heart, I know that Jesus loves me and he's washed my sins away. And you know, we've experienced many different things in life. We wrestle with the fears, we wrestle with the worries, we wrestle with the anxieties, we wrestle with these things. But friends, I hope every one of us can grab this one truth. You are more valuable than those sparrows. And in your heart, I pray that you hear those words, Jesus loves me. He's washed my sins away. And because of that, we understand that his grace is sufficient and we can make it each and every day of our life. Again, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God cares for you, and he cares for me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who I've used many, many times from this pulpit, he was a confessing church pastor who opposed the policies of Adolf Hitler and Nazism. And he was put into prison, a concentration camp, because of that. Died about 5 days before the war ended. And during that prison experience, he would write letters and notes. And sympathetic women and guards would actually smuggle them out of prison and give them to his best friend, who buried them in his backyard, only to later bring them forth from the ground and publish them and call them the letters and notes from prison. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who went through all the suffering, the trials of that experience, standing for his convictions, says, I believe that God will give us all the strength that we need to help resist in times of distress, but that he never gives it in advance, lest we should rely upon ourselves and not upon him alone. I mean, God cares for us. He watches over us. And God gives us the grace that we need in our time of need. Again, we desperately want to be common friends. But God says, you know what? I love the common person, the ordinary person. I love the person who really is a nobody, and I will give them the grace to sustain themselves. This little book I happened upon, I was doing some stuff in the office, and these little books, in fact, we gave some out to the men this morning, and they're fantastic little books. This one here is a different one, but it's actually composed by Billy Graham and Max Lucado. And I just happened to open up to this, and it just struck my heart. But he's talking about adoption. And he's talking about how it is that we have all been adopted into the family of God. And he says, when you talk about the adoption, it says the parents are the active one. Adoption agencies don't train children to recruit parents. They seek parents to adopt children. And he talks about how it is that we become adopted into the family of God and how that parent who adopts us showers us with that tremendous love that we desperately need. But then he finishes with this, and it just sort of touched my heart because he talks about how we all need a home. And he says, the same is true with God. He doesn't adopt us because of what we have. He doesn't give us his name because of our wit or wallet or good attitude. Paul states it twice because he is doubly concerned that we understand that adoption is something we receive, not something we earn. God is no fair-weather father. He's not into this love him and leave him stuff. I can count on him to be in my corner no matter how I perform, and you can too. Your father will never turn you away. It is right to call him holy. We speak truth when we call him king. But if you want to touch his heart, use the name he loves to hear. Call him father. What a wonderful daddy God it is that we serve. And he says, ask and it shall be given you. Ask. Are we boldly enough to ask what God wants us to receive? But I don't know about you, but I just need this message for myself this morning, that God, who sees this common little sparrow, also sees me. His eyes upon me, his eyes upon you. He cares for you, and his grace is sufficient for every moment of our life, every circumstance of our life, and he will see us through the day. He never gives the grace in advance. He always gives it for the moment. But what a wonderful grace that is. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God is your father, that God is your daddy? Praise God for that. Well, precious Lord, we thank you and we praise you. You're a great God, and you're a God who loves us, and you're just not a God who sits off into the othermost parts of the universe somewhere. You're a father who's come close, revealed himself in his son, Jesus Christ, fills us with your spirit, and Lord, invites us to come and say, our Father who art in heaven. Oh, Lord, holy is your name. And you talk us to, you invite us to ask for our daily bread. You ask us to say, Lord, guide us this day in all the decisions of life. We pray, Lord, that your will and kingdom will come in our hearts and our lives. Oh, God, we pray, Father, may your will always be done and your kingdom be forever and ever and ever. Thank you for loving every person in this place this morning. Thank you for walking with us through all the years. And thank you, Jesus, that your grace is always, always sufficient for our times of need. We give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.